information that you
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to the Cricket Show. Waiting to join Mason and guests. But let's celebrate the West Indies in the meantime. Country gets into full. As you know, the West Indies have won the T20 series against Australia, winning the first three matches. With two to go, they have an unassailable three-match win over the guys from Down Under. And they split it.
We rule the cricket world.
It's possible. Check a fight from the earth.
But down here,
they will be coming. They will be coming back to fire.
Enough to lose a friend.
We are waiting to join Mason and
guests.
Invite you to be with us each and every Sunday evening from 6 until 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
When
you'll hear pure cricket sport. Pure cricket sport. We shall call 1-515-605-9850. That number again is 1-515-605-9850. Or you can simply log in on the internet. blogtalkradio.com/thecricket. That web page again is www.blogtalkradio.com/. We're on the air for the past 10 years going on 11th and August 6th. We trust that you folks will enjoy each and every episode that we have to see. I hope that you'll be able to join us this time. We have a testing show lined up for you. You're here at Mitchell. You can call in to talk with the panelists or the host. You can express yourself through that medium. Or if you wish to be a guest on all day, you can call in to
call.
Listen to the music as you wait to join the Mason here.
That is the root of our trouble. Oh, in these tiny letters of conflict and better known as the Isles of the West Indies. We already know brought us here and created this condition. So I'm begging my people, please. Oh, we got to rally around the West Indies. Now and forever, yeah. Rally around the West Indies. Stoke up the fire, boy. Bring it from the runs are gone, I flow again like
vodka.
Bring it to my soil for each and every son and
vodka.
Here we gonna rise again like a raging
fire.
As the sun shines, you know we gonna take it
fire.
What we got to what?
Are we coming back? Are we back for peace?
One forever.
Can we take the World Cup? Can we bring out the blue stars? All these are possible. We're going to be speaking on rallying around the country. We know God will.
We shall prevail.
They're showing us.
This is
just
not cricket.
It's serious to do it. Winning against an Aussie side. Not easy.
To make sure that they fail.
Just taking them to the
game. We must take a sign or be lost in the rubble.
And listen to
we
David Warner.
Divided world that
tells
don't
all.
Silence no more. Are we doomed forever to be at somebody's mercy? Little keys can open up mighty doors. Rally around the West Indies. One forever, yeah.
You're gonna be riding around the West. You're gonna win some. You may lose many, but you win the one that counts. That big one. We're gonna keep talking. As I said before, we are waiting to join Mason and guests around about 6:18. Until then, we'll play you some music to let you know that we are on a winning streak. Can we continue? I believe we can. But even though we don't win, we will be winning the series in the T20 versus the mighty Aussies, though they are short of some. So we're going to be talking. So I'm going to play the troubadour, how they say that. Talk. We'll be right back. troubadours, George, they call that one talk. We shan't forget the ladies, West Indies ladies. They too are on a winning streak, having defeated the Pakistani ladies 3-0. But the A side was not that fortunate. They went under. Well, they went on a 2-0. That was the last score I had. Hopefully, they can save one. But we will give you all the details later. As we wait for Mason and guests, we're going to bring you some music for your entertainment. Caribbean Gypsy by a band out of Haiti. As you remember, the Haiti people, as they lost a president, suicide of their president, and it was such an awesome, awful, awful situation for them to withstand. Never cease to have problems in Haiti. Nevertheless, we just try to cheer up our brothers and sisters over there. Soon and very soon, they'll be back on their feet again. Let's hear from Strings, a band out of Haiti. Yeah, if it's nice, you play twice. That's what they say. Now I'm just going to do just that. Play it again. And that is Brazil by... No, let's talk about Brazil rather. Let's do Brazil by Foster Papiti. Foster Papiti, Brazil. Great information again.
Mangoes around, although I lost a lot in Elsa, I can tell you that it was absolutely great to see a great player come to the party. In fact, he's been heavily criticized with a lot of justification, but he came very good last night and he was brilliant. He was absolutely superb, and the West Indies romped to victory against Australia.
Mason, yes.
And I would imagine from Kingston, Jamaica, right through to Bridgetown, Barbados, celebrating the work of art. And I suppose, like Biggie Ari, we now go home to the morning come in celebration. It was a wonderful performance by the West Indies side. And tonight, we're going to hail the West Indies team from near and from far. I'm Andrew Mason, and from now on till 8 o'clock, of course, Eastern Caribbean time, 7 o'clock in Jamaica, we shall be looking at the West Indies. A wonderful performance against the Australians. And without any further ado, let me say hello to my co-host, Dr. Andrew Ford. We've already got in line our fellow Alfonso Wallace, who is there in his study. Of course, he won't represent me in any hurry, fellow, but it's good to see that you are online already. So let's say hello to my co-host, Dr. Ford. Doctor, how are you this evening?
Hi, Andrew, and hello. And the listeners, I'm doing fine. It's great that we have some good news and can look at the positives in the West Indian T20 game and to see the senior players contributing to the victories in the last three games and also to see Hayden Walsh do very well. He's got 8 wickets and looking very confident and maybe one of the missing links I talked about last week. Still looking for the linchpin batsman, but at least things are looking better than they did a week ago.
Yes. Hello. How are you, my friend? Your smile is as broad as Kingston, Jamaica.
Hi, Andrew. Good evening to you. Good evening to Dr. Ford and your listeners. And, Barbados have to be very careful, Andrew, with COVID.
Another lockdown, Philo. Another lockdown, Philo.
Yeah.
Are you locked down in the mother country, Philo? Are you locked down over
yet.
There?
Prime Minister Boris Johnson on the 19th of July is going to release this country to the world.
Oh my God.
You don't have to wear a mask. You have to only wear a mask on public transport, which is the buses and, obviously the trains and maybe taxis as well. But other than that, not be just at Wimbledon, where my the guy who I support, Djokovic,
yes,
Djokovic, who I think is a lawn tennis fan, has won. They had about 17,000 people at the final.
17,000? I thought it was only 18, Philo.
even at 18,000, even at the Euro 2020 final at Wembley Stadium, no man was worn.
Mm.
It's a little ticklish here. I wear my mask. I'll be the clown that wears the mask because you need to be very careful. So I just want to say to be careful to Barbados and you know all those people out there who are on the front line. Don't take it for granted and get the Barbadians to understand that COVID is still there, you know. And I just want to say congrats to the West Indies women's team, Andrew, for winning that series against Pakistan. First time they've won a series in a long time. Congrats to Coach Wallace and his charges, and Stefanie Taylor as well. And congrats yesterday to Hayley Matthews. But obviously the big talk is the West Indies senior team. Without Captain Pollard, I believe he's injured. Being led for the first time by Nicholas Pooran. And one would say Trey Love. He's won three games. And to sink Australia 3-0 in a five-game T20 series, I think it's good for him as a captain. It's good for West Indies. And obviously, this is our strongest format. And the players, obviously, when you listen to them and read about what they're saying, they seem to have a cohesive unit. And they're playing for one common goal, that is obviously to get to the World Cup and do well. And let's hope it can continue.
All right, let's go to Jamaica. I think quite appropriately we're going to go to the land of wood and water, the country, of course, of ackee and saltfish, and it's also the country of Wayne Lewis, who I understand is going to be a candidate in the next election. By the way, his party not doing very well in recent times. But hello, how's my good friend there? What an introduction to you, Mr. Lewis. How are you, my friend?
Hey, Andrew, it's a very good evening to you. Good evening to all your guests, your panelists, your listeners. I heard it's now 12 million. It keeps increasing. So congratulations on the growing of your show. I am well. I don't know what party I'm affiliated to, but you say so.
I see. All right. Now, first of all, Wayne Lewis, the former Jamaica batsman, and of course, the big boy, the second of Weeper. And first of all, as a Jamaican, what is your reaction to Christopher Henry Gayle's performance in Jamaica? Can you tell me, Wayne?
Well, I mean, you know, Jamaicans like winners, right? They don't like when you keep failing. So therefore, there were a lot of concerns about his position in the team and, you know, why is he still playing at soon to be 42, and they were very concerned about that. However, after what he did last night, the entire situation has changed somewhat. Of course, they were quite delighted with the innings that he played. And all of a sudden, they're quite fine again. It's great to see Chris in the team, and West Indies are looking good. So, you know, it's like you're as good as your last performance. And on that basis, everybody's quite happy.
So, the call-in programs, of course, and KLS Radio there and IRE FM, they're, of course, hailing his work of heart, I would imagine.
It would be unfair for me to give an opinion on that because I've not been listening to any of those stations. I've been very busy all day with Weeper work and so on, you know.
Mm.
So I've not been able to, you know, have that type of time to listen to those programs. But, you know, talking to my friends and, of course, people send me stuff, you know, it's all positive since, you know, his performance last night. So I am also very happy for it.
Just before we go to Philo Wallace, there were many people who said that, look, Christopher Gayle, if he continues to fail, they're not going to take him to the World Cup. In fact, only last week on this program, we had Tony Gray and Sir Curly Ambrose saying, look, Mr. Gayle, you've got to come good. Do you think he's done enough to book his ticket to the World Cup?
Is that the question for me?
It is, indeed. It is for you.
Well, considering the fact that I'm not a selector, and I started giving you my honest opinion, I personally think that it's almost a moot point now to really go into that. I think that, you know, I can't imagine that the selectors would have had him at this stage with no plans of taking him to the World Cup. And after the way he performed last night, I fear that it's a done deal. And I think that you have talked about so many intangibles that he offers the team in terms of mentoring and encouraging the youngsters, and they have the captain of the batting unit, and he's trying to be positive. Apparently he's a healthy dressing room to talk about the unity and togetherness of the team. It's a good thing, and therefore I don't know that we need to even venture in that era. Once he's performing and if he performs the way he did last night, we know that he's more than an X factor, even though he's going on 42. Because if he performs well or he's on song or he's in a proper patch during the World Cup, we know he can win a number of games for us. And I personally am on record in 2019 when I thought that he should have retired then to start building again for the next World Cup. But you know, look, a number of the other countries, their senior players retired after the World Cup in England in 2019. Chris stayed on. I don't know if that was the right thing to do because we need to get the youngsters in and build their capacity so that West Indies can benefit for a longer period. However, he's around and he has now scored his second half century. Interesting that his first half century before this one was actually in 2016. That's a nice long time.
5 years.
Right, that's a long time. However, it was such a surprising and exciting knock last night that we've missed that, but we want to see more of that. The City's in the team, and there's no doubt that he's going to the World Cup. I don't know that we need to even discuss that point because he's going to be going to the World Cup. And I think we should, you know, like during and being more positive and encouraging more and just ensure that he performs well for us because we'd love to win the World Cup for our third time.
All right. So we can quote you saying that you have Christopher Henry Gayle in your side for the World Cup. Can we quote you on that? Make primetime sports tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock?
I'm sure you have that opinion as well, Andrew.
No, I don't. I think Christopher Gayle's going to the World Cup is risky.
You think it's risky?
I think it is, based on the fact that Gayle... Well, Gayle is on the decline, and Gayle at the international level hasn't done a great deal. I mean, I'd love to. If he goes to the World Cup and he does very well, I'll be quite happy. I mean, I celebrated his work of art. But the reality is that when you look at the stats playing for the West Indies, you know, I'm not sure.
But to be fair, though, Andrew, he has not been playing consistently since 2016 when I talked about the last time he's going.
Well, they come back for world tournaments, don't they?
Yeah, but he hasn't been playing a lot. And I'm saying we need to be balanced and fair. Personally, as I said, I'm on record to say that he should have retired in 2019.
Yep.
That's my opinion. But the fact that he has stayed on and the fact that at this 11th hour he's still featured in the squad and he's playing, yes, he looked really out of sorts in the first two games. But last night he looked good and he decided that he was going to change his temper. And he really looked good. And I was happy. Let's hope he can do more of that. And therefore, if he does that, then I'm sure West Indies will have a great chance of winning the World.
Well, but I always like to see Christopher Henry Gayle perform. He's such an influence. There's no question about that. But, of course, in the interest of balance, I thought it was important to raise that stat as well, which is not inspiring a great deal of confidence. Stay with us, of course, Wayne Lewis. I know you're celebrating there. Let's go to Philo Wallace. Philo, how do you rate the performance of Christopher Gayle? And why do you think Australia lost? Talk to me, Philo.
Well, obviously, Andrew, when you look at Christopher Henry Gayle, I said 2 years ago, he stopped playing at the international level. And as you rightly said, his stats are very, very average. But last night, obviously, he went out there and he showed his worth, what he can still do. 41 years old, looking to go to a World Cup in Abu Dhabi and UAE, where it's going to be hot. He has to be on top of his game. I think that when you look at this Australian bowling attack, minus Pat Cummins, who's the leader of their bowling attack, and some of the other senior players, this attack is not as potent as we expect. And he batted well. He brought the ship home. And we will hope that we can see more innings of this caliber from Chris Gayle. He's obviously now the number three batsman in the West Indies batting lineup. No longer go to open. So that is obviously food for thought. So his whole mindset and approach seems to be different. But I think that what the selectors are doing, these are the fellas that they're going to be thinking seriously to taking to that World Cup to represent West Indies. There's also another guy that the captain spoke about, Narang as well. So there's a lot of connotations and stuff still to be had. But these guys that they're playing now, I think that these are going to be the nucleus of those guys that they're going to be selected for the World Cup. I thought Australia lost the T20 game again. Like the other two games, they're not really thinking. They want the matches for power. I mean, you see people like Moses Enriquez, who's a good batsman, looking for their power shots and not having that kind of power that West Indies have. I think that they're fading away. They're starting well, but because they're looking to matches for power in the middle overs and they're struggling. And I think that our bowlers have bowled well also. Puran has done a good job at standing captain. And you still have to obviously look at our field, and our field has been good. A few blitzes, but obviously we're still holding on to the ball necessary. So I think we're outplaying the Australians in most departments of the T20 series so far, and they will have to rethink. And it's good to see that we have Australia on the back foot, minus some of their top players, but it's still an Australian side, Andrew, mm-hmm. of quality. Australia will not send a team down here to the Caribbean that is not quality. So I think we are beating an Australian side that has quality, but not of that vast quality that's been minus the David Warners. Those guys have made a difference. But I think what we are doing is playing good defensive cricket. And there are two teams in the world, Andrew, that West Indies will always play hard. Australia and England.
Mm, true. The history. You're
Pakistan
right.
Pakistan and Sri Lanka and Bangladesh like get away. But when it comes to
Australia and England,
West Indies will always...
They raise the level. They raise the level. Yep.
Yes. And we know why. You know, it's a deep-rooted thing from years ago. But I would like them to continue to play this way, not only against Australia, but against whoever they face next. But Pakistan today were beaten by England.
Yes.
Chasing 222 runs.
Can you imagine that? Yep.
322 runs.
Dr. Ford, you got a question
Amazing.
For... You got a question for Wayne Lewis, Doctor? Jamaicans are celebrating.
Wayne, I'll just take you away from the celebration. You said you're doing a lot of work with people. What is occupying your time so intensely?
Yes.
Good question, Doc.
Thanks for asking. We have an election, a voting election on Monday. Sleepers annual general meeting. We're having it on Zoom for the first time. So we're preparing for the AGM Monday. So it's taking up a lot of our time. Thanks for asking that and giving me an opportunity to officially announce it, that our election is actually on Monday.
But I have a question for Ben. How do you run for office at VIPA?
That's fine. I mean, if you're a member. We have to announce it 21 clear days before the election. All the members, the information is sent to all the members along with nomination forms, and you have X amount of time for you to get yourself nominated and seconded should you want to run for office. And everyone is allowed to run for office if they want. So once you're a member of WIPA, the information is sent to you.
Mm-hmm. Doc?
How do you become a member of WIPA?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Because
how do you become a member?
You aren't a member.
You have to be a first class citizen.
I'm not a member. I don't get any information from people.
But you wouldn't have your information there, Phil. We do respect. You would have to make contact with WIPA's office and say, yes. Of course, you've represented Barbados and the West Indies, and if you want to be a member, of course you can be a member. You just contact the WIPA's office, and the information will be sent to you. It's uploaded, sent to me for my signature, and ratified, and you're a member of WIPA.
No.
Okay, no problem.
I can have information sent to your fellow if you want to be a member.
Yes, I would like that information sent to me, please.
Send it tomorrow.
I will get your telephone number from Andrew.
Oh, yes,
and I'll send my
email. In fact, as I speak, I'm WhatsApping you this number, fellow. Yes, Doc.
Wayne, I hope you have membership.
I hope you're being serious about that, fellow. You get in contact with me, I'll send you the relevant information.
Oh, wonderful.
I'll have your member, no doubt.
Then I don't make sport when it comes to West Indies cricket or Barbados cricket.
Very serious man.
We get our former cricketers involved
in
our cricket at some level or the other. So I'm dead serious. Well, I shouldn't use dead, but I'm serious.
When just before Dr. Ford comes in, in terms of your position, are you running again?
Well, yes, I've made myself available. I've not been challenged. For some reason, you know, based on the improvements that WIPA has made in the last 7-8 years since I've been a part of WIPA, we have achieved a lot. And therefore, the players, we set out these information, they tend not to want to get involved at the representative level in terms of administration and stuff. Not very often we have seen that anyone wants to challenge. You know, they do call into the WIPA's office a lot.
Mm-hmm.
They have asked a lot of questions, but, you know, WIPA, we don't procrastinate on issues, and therefore they have always been furnished with the relevant information that they have. So WIPA is set up for that. For some reason, when we send it out, players seem to be very satisfied with the direction.
Okay. How long have you been in the job now, Wayne?
I have been there since 2014, my first. Interesting enough that my first AGM was that very AGM in Trinidad. They said it's the biggest attendance we've ever had at an AGM when the decision was made to go in a professional setup that we're having now through the franchise system.
Mm-hmm.
And out of that, you know what happened? Players withdrew. I mean, they withdrew from the Tour of India, and so many things have happened since that. But that's the genesis. That's where it started in terms of, you know, a new direction in West Indies cricket, where you've seen now number of the guys are coming through the system now and doing well at the international level, all because of our regional and professional system that has now been put in place.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a collaborative effort between Cricket West Indies and Weaver, of course,
mm-hmm.
and best practices, and therefore that's what happened. And you see now the guys are being paid, they get their salary on a monthly basis. Over 120 players, including females, are fully employed through Weaver and Cricket West Indies. So therefore, we have achieved a lot. You see the guys now have health insurance 24/7. They are fully insured. And we have seen, we have had one player who had been diagnosed with cancer.
Oh dear.
He was fully taken care of by the insurance that was put in place. So we're very happy about that. And he's still alive and doing well
mm-hmm.
because of that very insurance policy that was instituted 3-4 years ago.
Just talking of, just before Doc comes in, what's the latest on Minley? You know, he got COVID there in St. Lucia. What's the latest on him?
The man of fire was, he was recovered and he was back in the system bowling and doing his thing.
Mm. Okay. Fair enough. Doc,
there was also another guy called Tyrone, TO5.
Yes, from Dominica. He had a serious injury.
What happened to him?
Is he a member of Weaver?
Yes, and we've been heavily involved. Let me not use the word heavily, but we have been involved with his recuperation,
mm-hmm.
and Weaver is playing his part. We don't like to make this public, but we have done stuff, and we have been involved with him. We have kept in touch with him throughout, so we knew exactly what was happening from the get-go with
mm-hmm.
Leon Sebastian. Was in that part of the neck of the world, and he was the one who represented Weaver throughout all that,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
trying him out and getting him out. I'm not saying that Weaver paid for that, but we have been involved the way we can, in our own way, trying to assist him as much as we can.
Doc?
Wayne, how does Weaver sustain itself, and are there any deficiencies in the payment of the players? Is everything on schedule and fully paid up thus far?
Well, yes, players are receiving their salary on a monthly basis. There was some situation with the Super 50 that was played. They were got paid a little late. They got 50% and the other 50% in Scotland is paid now. But everything is scheduled. And come January 2021, you know, we went back to all the players who were on contract, went back to full salary. And West Indies, you know, they have kept the bargain on that. So therefore, everything is fine with that. And we get our sustenance through for the players, so we negotiated as part of the MOU for 1% of the gross annual revenue of Cricket West Indies that stays a week on a monthly basis, and we use that to run our programs and our workshops and so on. And we have been doing a collaborative effort with Cricket West Indies in sensitizing the guys about match fixing and ensure that the water discipline are maintained. I mean, you know, to ensure that the guys, you know, the way about clause, you know, that it has cost people a lot of money in the past with players. And you remember some years ago that Andre Russell got involved in that, and he was banned for a while because of, you know, missed three successive drug tests. Odin Brown in Jamaica cost us a lot of money to defend him. He was also found guilty of that. So therefore, we are sensitizing these guys to ensure that they stay in the straight and narrow, and also teaching them how to take care of their funds, because, I mean, they're very young. They have a long way to go. So they need to be very prudent and disciplined with the way they administer their finances and so on. So we have been doing a lot of work behind the scenes to ensure that the guys, for example, all the players who want to, and they want to get into coaching, they want to prepare themselves for life after cricket, Weaver, that's coordinated through Nixon McLean, our vice president, to ensure that the guys are registered and they go and get their qualifications so they can move up in the system so they can be gainfully employed once they stop playing cricket. So there are a lot of issues that we are dealing with outside of just...
Well, Ben, I have another question for you. I know Captain Patterson Thompson was involved in a former player's some kind of committee or...
He's a chairman.
Let's become a dad. I haven't heard a lot about that. I know I went to Barbados and I played a game. You were there. What has become of that because of this? But it's COVID as well. And I really want to know also if Weaver is involved with sensitizing or cricketers, the contracted cricketers and those who are on the periphery about being vaccinated and living in these bubbles, obviously when they go out to play first-class cricket, whenever that will be.
Thanks for asking that, Philip. Yes, I mean, when when West Indies had to go to England, Bangladesh, to New Zealand, we were heavily involved in the planning, and we had to sign off on it for it to be authentic for them to go. And we are very much involved in that. We have our doctor on board to guide us through that, because we're not doctors. We have no skill set to deal with that. So we bring the necessary, the relevant persons on board to guide us through that. We're very much involved in it. There were some players, when the bubble started, were very adamant that they weren't going to get involved with the vaccination. They had their doubts about it. We had to talk to them to encourage them to do the right thing and protect themselves and their family and their livelihood. So we are very much involved in all of those stuff in terms of sensitization of players to ensure that they do the right thing. So, yes, we do a lot of that through our player development managers, because we have player development managers who represent and deal with all the issues surrounding franchises. So, yes, we'd have somebody in charge of Barbados, or Winward Islands. Any issues that they have, you know, they'll go to that person. If it cannot be done at that person, they'll elevate it to us and we take it forward. So our system is set up in a way to ensure that the guys get immediate representation, even though there's a COVID pandemic going around, but we still work the numbers, work the phones to ensure that these guys are protected.
Is WIPA influential?
Absolutely. If we were influential, I'm telling you, we'd have heard a lot of stuff. We have our differences, you know, and when I come on your program and Dr. Shallow is on the program, and I tell you that they have carried out and they have, you know, crossed the T's and they have dotted all their I's, and therefore their words have been their bond, and therefore, you know, when they make promises to us, we hold them to that promise, and they have been fantastic with that. We have no issues with them as it relates to that, and we're not going to be there as some guides, and therefore they'll pass things by us and we just take it and move on. No, we need those negotiations. It's rough, it's tough, but they understand that it's nothing personal. We'll have differences that we fight through those differences. But at the end of the day, it's all for the benefit of West Indies cricket. For example, the established MOU that we have now, we have just tweaked it a little bit to ensure that there's more equity in terms of the guys offering contracts. So therefore, the new dispensation starts from the South Africa series until to next year. So therefore, they know that come 2022, 2023, how they'll be judged, how they'll be evaluated, we do that. And come next year, we start negotiating and start preparing for the new MOU, which is scheduled to start July 1, 2023. So therefore, it's a lot of work. And
can you, Wayne, I just want to go back to the contracts. So the trainer contracts, would have been tweaked then?
Could you repeat that?
The trainer contracts, they've been tweaked recently? Any adjustments recently?
Well, yes. We've tweaked it now, so the players know from now that come 2022, how they will be judged, and this is how they will be evaluated, and these are the numbers, and so on. So
how has it been changed? Because there was so, how has it been changed? Because, in fact, Dr. Charlotte, when last he was on the show, admitted that, look, yes, they had to do some adjustments. What are those adjustments? Can you tell me?
I'm going to give you one.
Yeah, give me one.
I've got with this one. Let me give you one.
Yes.
We have had some numbers, like, you know, for you to be considered for a contract, you have to score your batsman X amount of runs.
Right.
You have to have a particular strike rate. You have a particular average. Similarly, as a bowler, strike rate, how much wickets you take, what's the economy rate that's on. Now, usually you have to play X amount of games to be qualified. Right? So we're saying that if a youngster comes on the scene and he's on fire, you know, he's setting the pace alight, he's scoring another runs or he's taking another wicket. But when the time comes for evaluation, he has not made it in terms of the amount of games. Point to be quite, but if his numbers are there and he does not have the amount of games to go with it, we still offer him a contract and we kept it at a B. He cannot get more than a B contract. But no longer will we say we cannot evaluate a player because he didn't play enough games on that basis. Even if he scored all the runs or he took all the wickets, but the fact that he didn't play the minimum amount of games, we cannot evaluate him, meaning that he cannot be offered a contract. We have, and another one, we have tried to protect the players from injury. So you find that in tennis, for example, Roger Federer might be getting injured, and they protect his rankings for a while to ensure that once he's fit again, then he can get into playing tournaments without having to qualify in those tournaments. So they both protect his ranking. We have that something like that in cricket now, where we protect a player if he's injured and he's unable to play the minimum amount of game, where he'll be evaluated, then that player will be protected. So the following year, when you offer a new contract, because he wasn't evaluated, he didn't play enough games, he was injured, and he's fit now, we'll offer him the same contract. So if he had an A contract, he'd be offered an A contract in year two. But that's only for 1 year, though. You'd get that protection for 1 year. So we're trying to give the players as much protection as possible. So those are two of the changes I can tell you about right now.
Mm-hmm. Doc?
And the foundation that Patrick Thompson was involved with, what's become of that?
It is still there. I mean, he's the chairman. I mean, we have a representative on that board as well. And they're doing a lot of work, you know. And let me tell you some of the ways that his body gets funded. Every series that Western is played, there are incentives for winning the series. So now that they have won the T20 series, there's money there for the players then because the incentives are there. If they don't win the series, those monies go to Patrick Thompson's body. And they use those money to assist a lot of our retired players now who are going through some very hard times. So therefore, they are doing some work.
Just before you go, because I know you. Yes, Doc, you asked the question, then I'll come in after you. Yes, Doc.
Wayne, I just wanted to know if there's a retirement plan. You know, sometimes a player will be doing well, and after they've retired, they're unable to maintain themselves. Is there any education or plan for facilitating retirement for the Windies players?
Well, you know, I talked about earlier about, you know, getting the guys qualified. Now, we have a memorandum of understanding with a number of tertiary institutions in the Caribbean. A number of our players are actually doing their first degree, remedial work. They're going to do their CSC or their CAPE. So we facilitate that as well. And therefore, you find that some of the guys, and by the time they're ready to retire, they would have already had their first degree or their diploma, or they would have passed all their CSC subjects or their CAPE subjects and so on. So there is an educational MOU that we have set up with a number of institutions within the Caribbean. We have that. Also, the guys are interested in coaching. We ensure, we pay for it, set them up to go and do those level courses, level one, level two, level three, you name it. We facilitate that as well. Nixon McLean is responsible and in charge of that. So we are trying to prepare the guys them outside of cricket once they're retired. And therefore, not everyone is going to play for the West Indies for 10 years and, you know, make a lot of money and can settle down with their lives and economically they will fight. So we have recognized that and we have been doing a lot of work with that. So a number of our guys would have been level one, level two. And once the coach seminars are available, they're collaborating effort with the West Indies again. They are sent to us and then we get our players involved, you know, if they're interested in them. We encourage them to do that. So a number of the guys in the region now at least have a level one and a level two coaching certificate within the system. So at least they'll be gainfully employed once they leave cricket. So we have that.
I meant like a retirement fund that would be set up by Reaper that, you know, a player can tap into at retirement age, something that you guys would get someone to manage and you take some of their earnings and put aside for them. You know, I appreciate the educational focus for just after the game in midlife, but I mean for later on.
It's a good question. I mean, we've talked about that at length, and we looked at the numbers, and the numbers weren't very complimentary in terms of the salary structure of the players. The guys who are playing international cricket, yes, that system is there for them. But the guys who are playing in the regional tournament, the monies are so weak, even though they are contracted. And when we do a comparative analysis of salaries between the region, they are still within the 5%, 10% of best paid employees within the region. However, when we look at the numbers, still weren't strong enough for us to set up a system of that like that nature. And another thing, so there is no guarantee on an annualized basis that these guys will be offered contract every year. So it is truncated. It's very difficult to do, but we have looked at it, we have talked about it at length, and we're still looking at ways to see how we can establish one where all the players will benefit. But it's going to take some work, but we need a lot more funds. So you and come on board with us to assist us to get
some
fund going to start a fund.
Yes.
To move it forward. We'll be too happy for that.
Just before you go, because we're heading towards 7 o'clock Eastern Caribbean time, we've got Ambassador Courtney Andrew Walsh on Zoom. So we're going to talk, of course, about the women. And we're going to be linking with Richard Pufford very soon. We want to know what's happening in relation to Barbados and their games. You represent the women, don't you? You represent the women as well?
Yes, sir. All the women are on board with us.
Mm-hmm. All right. Just recently, because it raised no bit of interest, not a lot has been said. Julius is the second ODI, West Indies versus Pakistan. Henry and Nation, they got, quite unwell on the field. And we haven't heard anything about that. Can you tell us a bit about what has happened to Henry and Nation?
Well, you know, she's in training. She's in the team right as we speak.
But what happened there, though? I mean, they're
yeah, well, we're not
had a bit of a scare.
We're not doctors. I suggest you talk to the question is about that. I mean, but as you can see, she has recovered fully. She's
right.
Back in the team playing.
Mm.
So therefore, I don't know exactly what happened. We've asked about it. Some information was sent to us.
So Weaver wasn't given a report?
Well, to be fair, that situation is not dealt with by me.
Oh.
Therefore, I'm sure it well. We have had discussions with the president about it, and yes, there was some correspondence going on about it, and we were told everything is fine, and she's back in, so it's just the
because I find cricket West Indies didn't tell us a lot about it.
Don't blame me for that, Angela.
It seems almost like it was a secret.
It can't be a secret when it goes on the news.
Oh, come on. You know what I mean, though, in terms of information from the board? You know what I mean.
Well, I can't speak on behalf of cricket West Indies, and on that basis,
no.
I answer you as clearly and as honestly as I
right.
can. So as it relates to the information coming to you,
right.
to cricket West Indies, I can't speak to that.
Final question. Is Weaver Hines going to be challenged for that position?
No, he will not be.
So it seems as if no one at Weaver has ever challenged. You're doing such a good job.
Well, we've never been challenged, to be honest with you. It has never happened.
Is that amazing?
It's amazing.
Point.
Really?
Isn't that amazing?
Up or down? Is it up or down? Depends on how you look at it.
I like that.
Dave Cameron spoke about, even the ICC wrote to Cricket West Indies trying to find out what happened in 2014
right.
when things seemed to settle down. And therefore, Dave Cameron talked about the fact that because of no more litigation situations and everything would go to the court, we were saving cricket West Indies like $2 million a year. Those monies are going back into cricket West
Indies. Oh, wonderful.
The development of the players. Because, of course, we have issues sometimes, but the respect is there.
Mm.
And I can take the phone and call Johnny Greer anytime. I can call Dr. Shallow. I can call the president.
Mm.
And they'll give me the level of intention that is required, attention that is required.
Mm-hmm.
And we have no issues like that. The respect is really, really good. Similarly to what happened when Dave was president, a lot of persons were saying that we were in bed with Dave.
Oh, yes. Oh, many people thought you were a big supporter of Dave Cameron.
Indeed.
Weaver seemed to be supporting Cameron.
You pointed some fingers at us. However, Dr. Shallow and Miss, they realized that we are very honest and hardworking people, and therefore we have issues and we work them out. They realized that we are very genuine people, and therefore we are trying to...
In the interest of West Indies cricket.
Absolutely. So therefore it makes no sense. Every differences that we have, we are in the public domain, cussing out each other. The players are feel comfortable now to be identified as members of Weaver. I became secretary of Weaver because Andrew Richardson was tired of being referred to as the Weaver man, and he thought that he was holding back his chances of playing for the West Indies, and he resigned from Weaver for that very reason.
Oh,
they don't have issues like that anymore.
No. Okay. Well, Courtney Andrew Walsh, Ambassador Walsh, is with us. We're going to come to him in just a minute.
Weaver president.
Oh, yes. Good old Cuddy Walsh. Yes, man. And I enjoyed going up to Cuddy's when I was there in Jamaica. But just before we go to the commercial break, when are your elections in Jamaica, the JCA? Haven't heard a thing. When did you have elections coming up in Jamaica?
Andrew, I'm certain that sometimes they need to change the name. They need to start calling you Blender, Mix Up and Blender.
Yes. You tell me about that.
You're Mix Up and you're a Blender. I have nothing to do with the JCA.
But,
I don't get involved with the JCA.
But I'm asking you as a Jamaican, and you, which club are you with in Jamaica?
Kensington and Kingston Cricket Club.
Good, right.
Members of
Good. But I'm asking you, do you know when the elections are going to be in Jamaica, local elections?
Okay, here's how I can assist you.
Thank you.
I can WhatsApp Jimmy Heaven's telephone number, Courtney Francis's number to you.
Yes.
And then you can call them and then they'll give you a better answer than me. They are on the board, I'm not.
But aren't these elections due?
I'm sure.
Yes.
But, I mean, there's a COVID. I mean, we're having our elections come Monday.
Mm.
I don't know what's the reason why maybe the JCA have to call the election as yet.
Mm.
I don't know. I don't want to speak to it. I don't want to get involved in it.
Okay.
I don't want to be quoted.
But are you concerned that there are no local elections in Jamaica?
I'm not concerned, Mr.
You're very, very formal with me now, Mr. Mason. You know me, Andrew, man. Come on.
Yeah. You're giving me a hard time, Auntie.
No, man. You're my friend, of course.
No, I don't want to get into GST and its problems. I'm focusing on our election come Monday.
Right. Okay. Well, I want to thank you, Wayne Lewis, of course, former Jamaica batsman. I don't know if Philo Wallace was in that game when there was a big hum at Sabina Park. Malcolm Marshall, first ball of the match. Wayne Lewis, bowl, neck and crop. You remember that, Wayne? First ball.
Hold on, Andrew, is that the one thing you remember? You don't remember me hitting Malcolm Marshall for three consecutive fours. One behind square, one in front, straight drive, and one six down to the ball. You don't remember those three?
Oh, Malcolm must have been past his best then, man.
He was upset. You know that Malcolm tried to hit it out. Mackenzie went over. I need to tell you this. Mackenzie went over.
Yes.
He tried to bone me a bumper, and he broke his wrist.
Oh, he did?
Tried to hit it down at Kensington.
Was he coming off 22 yards or 18?
Excuse me?
Was he coming off 22 yards or 18?
He was running in. It was the first ball of the team. And
he broke his wrist. Wonderful.
And because of that, we retained the red strike of that year for the simple reason that he broke his wrist.
He broke his wrist. Wonderful. Well, Wayne, it's always a pleasure to chat with you. Not often that we call and we get you, but, you know, it's very, very good listening whenever you are on. Thanks, and enjoy the rest of your evening in the land of wood and water.
Thanks for having me, Andrew. All right, guys.
All right. Let's pause for business calls. When we come back, we're going to go to Ambassador Courtney Walsh. The women will be in focus. Mason and guests, of course, is brought to an association with our very good friends at ASAP Work Room, the best shot of the day.
Join us each Saturday morning from 9 until 12 noon to hear the Saturday morning entertainment episode. And on Sundays, from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, to be a part of the cricket show. To join the show, call 1-515-605-9850. The number again is 1-515-605-9850. Enjoy the remainder of the show.
I understand that there will be no spectators for the first couple of games with Australia. Of course, that starts next Monday with the rise in COVID cases in Barbados. I've been trying to get someone from the Ministry of Health all day to try to get to be on the show, but I've been unsuccessful, but hope that Condé Riley can provide us with some information. We also, a little bit later on, we're going to be going to Australia to talk to Jeff Lemon, who was with us last week, about this very ordinary performance by the Australians. And a little bit later on, we're also going to be going to St. Vincent to speak to the Vice-Chair General, of course, Dr. Ralph Gonzalez, who wants to offer some congratulations to the West Indies team. And, of course, we're going to be taking your calls. But without any further ado, let's say hello to Courtney Andrew Waltz, the Ambassador. Hello, Ambassador. How are you?
Ambassador? Hello, Andrew. How are you doing, Mr. Mason?
Oh, I'm very good. I like the formalities. How are you, Mr. Walsh?
I'm pretty good, thank you. Just want to say hello to you and your fans and your listeners.
Yeah, well Philo Wallace...
Watching on...
Well, Philo Wallace is...
Also watching on your phone.
Well, Philo Wallace is with us. And of course, have you ever met Philo Wallace?
Oh, Philo, the hard-hitting, swashbuckling horse from Barbados, who spent some time in England, sometimes in Trinidad.
Yes.
He's one gentleman I can call my friend. Just kept in touch over the years. And hello, Philo. I didn't know you were on the program. It's fortunate to have you and I on the program at the same time.
Oh, wonderful.
Ambassador Walsh, it's a pleasure. I would also tell Mr. Williams that we want to share for a crowd. And I hope we share the same view. Congratulations to you and the ladies.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that you continue to move West Indies women's cricket in the right direction. That is important.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Phil. I didn't hear you clearly, but I'm sure you were giving congratulations for the way the ladies played. I kind of heard some of it, but it's
yes, he actually was. Are you hearing me clearly, Ambassador Walsh? Hello, Ambassador Walsh, are you hearing me clearly? Walshy?
Andrew, sorry, can you hear me?
Yes, I'm hearing you. Are you hearing me loud and clear, Ambassador Walsh? All right. Well, it seems as if we're not hearing him. Can we call you then, Ambassador Walsh? Because
hello.
It's not. Hello, are you hearing us, Ambassador Walsh? All right. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to maybe try and make a call to Ambassador Walsh. So what we'll do, we'll give you a call. In the meantime, Let's go to Philo Wallace. Philo, why did the West Indies win? We spoke about Australia losing, but why do you believe that West Indies won?
I think they have learned from their mistakes against South Africa. Obviously, Andrew, too, you have to look at the surface at the Dharamsami Stadium. I think it is one that suits West Indies' type of play in relation to the ball coming on to the back. Our bowlers seem to be quite happy with that type of service where they can really run in and bowl. And then we see the improvement all the way of this young man called Obo McCoy, who continues to impress. And I believe that he's the live brand of bowling. And what he has done, he's done wonderfully well. And I also have to give a lot of credit too, as well, Andrew, to the young Hayden Walks Jr. You have to remember he went to Bangladesh, caught COVID-19, missed the Sri Lankan series. He didn't get a game against South Africa. He's shown his worth and his class against Australia. And there was an article that I read that he actually practiced with the Australians some time ago when he was trained in Abu Dhabi, I think, with the United States cricket side. So that would have also helped him. And I thought that his performances as a leg spinner has really given the bowling unit impetus and that belief that they can restrict the Australian batsmen, minus some of their more powerful T20 batsmen. Mm-hmm. But I thought that the thing is, when you look at their bowlers show a lot of skill.
Mm-hmm.
And they felt, you know, you could see a bowler running in and saying, look, I know I'm going to get this batsman out. Despite Mr. March playing some good innings and Wade at the top, you still saw bowlers looking to get wickets.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I didn't see that against South Africa. So to me, the bowlers have a lot more purpose. And our batsmen have learned against South Africa, not less for the big sixes and fours, but look to rotate and strike and play good cricket shots.
Mm-hmm.
So they've learned from the series against South Africa, and I hope that they can continue, because there's still a way off to the World Cup.
Mm-hmm. All right. We got Ambassador Walsh now by telephone. Ambassador Walsh, are you hearing me loud and clear?
I'm hearing you loud.
Oh, yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. That good old telephone still works, you know. Of course, Zoom is the thing, but of course, when Zoom doesn't work, you boom, and you go to the good old telly that we've had in our houses for such a long time. Now, what is responsible, Ambassador Walsh, for this tremendous performance by the West Indies women? Can you tell me?
Well, I think the girls, the first champion, the girls came in and did a lot of work with them, the coaches, everybody was into what was happening. And we have thought of, you know, put together a lot of teamwork to try and get them to improve. They're not, they're willing to learn, they're buying into what we're doing, and prepare to work hard. So I think hard work is paying off a little bit, and we still have a lot more work to do. But I think the enthusiasm that we can see and the way they're going about it, for me, is very heartening. And it's always nice to win, because we breathe confidence. The biggest challenge is that we hadn't played cricket for a while, so I wasn't sure what was going to happen, but
mm-hmm.
they responded well, and, you know, winning, as I said, be confident, and the girls are performing pretty well.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, look at the work of Hayley Matthews. I mean, you know, when you consider that just a year ago she wasn't doing that well, she's responded admirably to the challenge, Hayley Matthews.
She has. I mean, they've all done so, but she has stood out. So, you know, she had 100 in her last game. She had after two games before, a 49 run of the game before that. She's amongst the wickets, and she's always in the game in the team. And the captain wasn't played for a while either. You know, in the last, when she got a score, and then got 100 in the whole day as well. Those are good positive signs. And a lot of the other batters have kept it, Brittany Cooper in the last game.
Mm-hmm.
My sisters have been pretty well. So it's good that the consistency is there. And, you know, the coaches are really putting in some very hard work.
Mm-hmm. Just before we go to Doc Ford, any areas of concern at all, despite the victories? Because, of course, in success, there's also failure. When you do a critical analysis, Ambassador Walsh, are you concerned about any area at all?
Yeah, we're still concerned about the overall performance. The team, the passes can get a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
We're improving in the field, but that in itself is an area that we have to pay some special attention to see how best we can improve on that. But, you know, game by game, day by day, they're improving there. And the bowling can be a little bit more consistent as well. And
mm-hmm.
we just put everything working on the overall part of it. So, yes, we have done well and won the series, our bowling series, but we know that there's still a fair amount of work to be done.
Mm-hmm.
So, we keep working and keep striving for the ultimate goal to be as best as we can.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, every year has been looked at, but we're happy that the girls are showing that level of consistency and improving.
Mm-hmm. Doc?
Hi,
Ambassador Walsh. We did have some concerns about the batting of the women, and one big change is that you've had some of the top batsmen batting for longer periods, making bigger scores, 50s and 100s. What do you think is the main reason for them being able to occupy the crease and build better innings compared to before?
Well, they're able to concentrate for longer, and I have the coaches, as I said before, well with them. You know, Coach Samuel has really done extremely well in the mindset, getting them to think, and I think all the coaches have chipped in to help to ensure that they think along those lines, give them that support that just encourages them. So it's very hard to see, and we know the 60-over would have been a little bit of a challenge because we had played that type of cricket for quite some time. But the way they have adapted to it, I think what we did in the camp, the way the camp was structured, and to get them to start to build up, you know, learning from the first camp where it has worked tremendously. And it's good because once they're able to battle up, that will give them confidence. And, you know, others are looking on and everybody wants to start to play the part to see success. And it's just good to see that the effort they really put it in. I think also the level of fitness has improved, and that in itself, I mean, once, you know, once you're fit and stronger, you're going to be able to concentrate for longer. So I think everyone who has been involved with the girls has done a tremendous work.
Okay. I know in the T20 game, DeAndre Dawson is higher up in the batting order and is an explosive batsman. When she's played, she's been batting lower, and I don't think she's been bowling as much. How are things with Dawson right now?
She's okay. She's not fair to bowl as yet because, you know, she had some injury to her shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
She's just coming back from that. She's doing light, mm-hmm. light bowling work at the moment. And as I said, she's in the T20. She was up in the order in the first couple of ODI. She was down in the middle. Unfortunately for her yesterday, she didn't bat because she, you know, she had a slight, what we weren't sure what it was, but a slight, could have been a slight strain or whatever. So the cautionary measures were taken, and they have only batted the winning year. The rest of the girls stuck to the plate and did extremely well, so she weren't required. So we'll be assessing her tomorrow and to see how best it is to keep going again on Thursday in the game. But she's coming well, she's training hard, she's always a hard worker, and, you know, does everything to feel for us, and once we get her back into form and confidence of, you know, we are expecting that she will just perform for us as best as she can.
Are there any young emerging stars that you come across since you've had the camp and now with the first few games being concluded?
I wouldn't say young emerging stars. They're young emerging potential stars. yeah, a couple of young ones that we have seen in the camp that, you know, have impressed the coaches, the young Janelle Glasgow, the footballer, Xavier James. Those two youngsters, they're teenagers, and they show promise.
Mm-hmm.
So we're hoping that down the road they will fulfill the promise that they have shown. I think it's good to have them in the camp with the seniors where they can get some
mm-hmm.
advice. The cadre of coaches that we have around them to guide them and make sure that everything is, you know, working. So that's been excellent. And there's also a few first-timers in the camp as well that they've shown potential, and we just have to keep working with them. So it was good to have so many people into the camp so we can have a look at everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And we are hoping that regional play is later in the year and we get a chance some more, because the bigger the pool, the better I think we'll have in terms of selection and people to go out and compete.
Mm-hmm. Ambassador Ford, just before you go, I know you're a very busy man, let's switch quickly. I'm sure you want to congratulate the men as well for winning against Australia. What a performance.
What a performance. It was great to see. Tremendous. I mean, I know we didn't do well against South Africa, but we came up against a strong Australian team.
Mm-hmm.
But Australian team is always strong.
Mm-hmm.
And we have outplayed them in every department thus far. So it was really, really good to see. The boys have come out and did very well, bowling, the batting, everything just went up a notch. You can see that down and out after the last years against South Africa. They've bounced back very, very well. And it was really, really pleasing to see everyone has left the game and has seems to look very high and very good, and just very encouraging.
Mm-hmm. And good to see Christopher Gale get among the runs. He's been under the microscope.
He's been under the microscope. I think he's going to lead back. But when you look at his record and his stats, I mean, 40,000.
Yes. Tremendous. Tremendous.
I mean, so that's tremendous. And it was good to see him get that confidence with, you know, getting a bit of runs against his name.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see if he goes in the remainder of the tournament. But we know that Christopher Henry Gill, the universe boss, can be dangerous.
Very dangerous. Very dangerous.
Well.
And what a knock. I mean, can you take us through the knock? I mean, what a knock. I mean, you know, having performed poorly in the games before he came out, the blood in his eyes and really took on Hazelwood. What a performance.
Well, I was sitting with some of our coaches here, McCauley Moore, myself, Robert Samuels and stuff, and everyone was saying Chris looked a little bit puffed up coming out of
it. Yes, he did.
He can explode, and he did explode. He came out and looked business-like and not going up. Once, you know, once he gets going to
start,
confidence is going to come back. So it was really heartening to see the way he went out and played, and just all positive.
Mm. Do you like him batting at three?
If you ask me personally, I might tell you so, because I've played with him all the years when he was an opener and see the damage he can do and what some of the talent was when he was opening. So I just like him in that position, but he's adapted well. I think this might have been probably his first big score at number three for the West Indies.
Mm-hmm.
But he said he's just very, very fast. I remember Desmond used to say to be someone like a Chris Gayle batting at six as well in T20 could be dangerous. I would want to see that low, but I like him when he's opening.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. And what about Poran's captaincy?
Tremendous for him. You know, 3 from 3. I'm sure he's going to remind us, Captain Paul, all about that. But
yes.
For the young man to come in and be so successful, and everyone is rallying around him.
Mm-hmm.
He is enjoying the cricket, which is good to see. So it's really, everything looks good on the field. And, you know, just congratulations to the team for the way they've been playing.
I couldn't let you go without talking about this youngster, fellow Jamaican Fabian Allen. What a talent.
What a talent. One of the better skillers around. I wouldn't say he's the best, but he competes well, he bowls well, he's a good finisher. Cricketer, in the, you know, looks complete, and he's having a wonderful series with the ball. Something catches in the outfield. We saw what he did in a couple of the seasons that he batted. So definitely a good talent to have around, and long may his career continue.
Look into your crystal ball, Cuddy, before you go. 3 ODIs coming up against Australia. Of course, the West Indies won the series against Australia in the T20s, and then they take on Pakistan. When you look into your crystal ball, do you expect the West Indies to continue that upward trend, do well in the ODIs, and then go on and beat Pakistan?
I expect that because be confident that the guys are playing well. Once they be consistent in what they're doing, they're finding the feet, the combinations are coming together nice and better. Taking ownership and performing. And once that continues, West Indies is always going to be a very dangerous team because of the talent and experience that we have around.
Mm-hmm, indeed. And you must be on top of the world with the success of the women. What's next for the women?
Well, we have 2 World ODIs International to play and 1 each game here against Pakistan.
Right.
So we're going to finish on a high with those games. And then we're hoping that the region for the next tour here.
Right.
We're also planning on looking at, you know, getting ready for the World Cup qualifiers later in the year.
Mm. Well, good. It's always good to hear from you, Cuddy. I know that you're mixing your duties. You're a recently married man, Cuddy, and of course the coach. Of course, a lot more responsibility for Ambassador Walsh.
Thank you very much, Andrew. A lot more responsibility. I'm good friend to know what he's getting here. I'm not sure where he is. If he's
buying me, he doesn't spend another ring. I remember Philo Wallace at Sabina Park. I remember that game, Philo, Walsh to Wallace, and Wallace pulling down to, what was it? Was it one that went over the Kingston Cricket Club, Philo? You remember that one?
I don't think so. I just want to say, I'm
you're a modest man, aren't you?
I think that we fight some good battles.
Yes.
I'll never forget, let me back to Guernsey for your benefit, and we had a wonderful time over there.
Yes.
And I just want you to continue to move on women's cricket forward. I had a question for you. Obviously, you're accustomed coaching men. How you made a transition, obviously, to the women? Is it difficult? Is it a difficult transition?
Good question.
That's easy. There's a couple of stuff that's not very easy. I mean, coach to coach, so you can make that transition, but then there's a couple of stuff you have to work out and stuff, and it's not as easy as you probably think at the beginning, but I've been able to cope pretty well. But just think of it. I don't go into the dressing room now unless it's empty, that kind of thing. So you got to make sure those And, you know, there's other things you've got to understand about them. So all of it's coming together, and I'm gaining a little experience and getting, you know, getting better at it. But it's, at the beginning, it was a little bit of a challenge because it's not the same as when you coach men. But I have no issues. Girls are very attentive. They want to do better. You can have a good conversation with them. And, you know, they're key to learn and key to improve. And once that is happening, then you're happy.
All right. Well, thanks very much, Ambassador Watts, for coming through and talking to us. We're going to open the lines pretty, pretty soon. Enjoy the rest of your evening there in Antigua.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mason. All the best to you.
All the best. Always a pleasure to talk to Ambassador Courtney Watts, the pride and joy of Jamaica. All right. Pride and joy of Barbados, Richard Prof. Edwards, comes up next on Mason and Guest. Good evening to you, Professor. How are you?
I am good, Andrew. Thanks.
Oh, okay. Yes. Okay. Good. Now, what's responsible for the West Indies' success against the Australians? Were you surprised?
I would have to say yes. I would have to say that I'm surprised.
Why are you surprised, Prof?
They got rinsed out by South Africa.
Yes.
And then, so it was a surprise to see West Indies win so easily in the matches. In the first match, it looked like West Indies were dead and buried, and then Craig came out and bashed the ball around. And even to give 146, although it was a fighting total, I really thought that Australia would have easily got it, but they didn't. And the West Indies then got some belief in themselves and have played pretty well since then, I think.
Mm. And the Australians, are you surprised by the ordinary performances, Prof?
Yeah, of course. You tend to expect a lot more from Australia.
Yeah, indeed. And some good performances, you know, Hetmeyer back in the side, getting a very good half century. Christopher Gale coming good in the last match. You know, I still think Simmons can go on a bit. And Andrew Russell has really done well with the bat.
Well, yes, and these are the people that you want to perform. And they didn't really in the other matches against South Africa. And as long as they perform, and as long as the batsmen come out and just realize that they have more time than they seem to think, and push the ball around, you don't have to hit a six every time when you're looking to get on with it. You can hit a four, and you're not going to get caught with that. And I thought that Hetmeyer played when he made that 60-61. He played a lot, but he had a couple of bad spikes in between. But generally, he played a lot more responsibly. And by doing that, it gave West Indies a fillip to go on and get a good score.
How do you rate Hetmeyer? Is he a tremendous talent, do you think, Hetmeyer?
Well, obviously he has talent, but in the sense department, I would have said he was lacking very badly before by the way he was playing, both he and Foran. But they come out there and they seem to feel that they've got to hit sixes from ball one, every ball they face, and you cannot do that. You've got to play the ball around. You've got to bat properly. You watch the majority of the Indians, all of them have fabulous techniques, and they play the ball, and they play proper cricket. It's not looking to hoist the ball or over the boundary, but just every time. You look to push the ball around, hit the ball when you can, until you're able to go ahead. Once you get going, even Russell, when he comes out, and he starts to push the ball around, once he gets going, that's a different proposition altogether.
Just before we talk about Barbados, what about Gale? Under the microscope, responding quite well with a tremendous half century last night.
Well, he needed to, and he's always a danger. I mean, you can't make all the amount of runs that he has and not being able to somehow find an inning for him. And it was due, and he came forward and did it, and that was.
Is he in your World Cup squad?
I'm not too sure about a World Cup squad. You got to sit for the first couple of overs, but you go on short extra cover, and then hopefully you've got a position that you're trying to hide a fielder in, and it's a big pitch, I think, to do that, I think.
And just before you go, Prof, how are we looking in terms of the pitches? You got Australia coming here in less than a week.
Yeah, we're pretty well. Ready for it. We have this is looking good. We're going to put a save and do it a haircut tomorrow again, and then do some extra rolling. And because they look beautiful right now, with the amount of grass, it's the ideal for test match. But I think that probably we will have to get off some of that because we've got to try and cut that down as low as possible. wear and roll and bind it in. And so it would combine the surface and keep a nice full space for these 50 over matches.
And you expect the pitches to be what? Thick or not necessarily?
Well, they're Kensington Oval. In recent years, since about the last six or so, we've always had some pretty good pace. They're going to be hard.
Mm-hmm.
Onto the body. I can't tell you how quick they are. You've got to be a little careful about the body and leaving them.
Yes.
Especially the overmatches, you know, and the surface is hard, and I think they should have some bounce. So you've got to be careful next how the amount of water is put in. So you don't want the thing to be spanned all around.
Mm-hmm, I see. All right. Well, Prof, I want to thank you for coming through and talking to us. Enjoy the rest of your evening.
Okay. Thank you, Andrew.
All right. Richard Profeta is, of course, the curator there at Kensington Oval, former West Indies fast bowler, offering his thoughts. Always good to hear from him. We're going to certainly get some reaction from Philo Wallace in relation to what he had to say. He's reckoning, Philo, that the pitch at Kensington for the ODIs against Australia should be a pretty good pitch there. Philo, you played there on several occasions. Not hear you, Philo.
Yes, Andrew. I've played at Kensington for a number of occasions. I've also played at this new Kensington as well. And the pitches there are good. Now that Richard is back, I would hope that he and I think that Vincent Reid, I hope that Vincent Reid is still around. Now, these two former Barbados cricketers, obviously Richard being a former West Indies cricketer as well, can really get back those pitches to what we expect. Nice, true, hard pitches. I heard Richard saying this, I want the ball to be bouncing around the heads of the batsmen too often. But I think for one day cricket, you still want some bounce in those pitches. I was going to ask him a question. How challenging is a square for three ODIs, 350 over games? But I would like to know from Crafton and St. Lucia how difficult it is for him to prepare that square for 5 to 20 games.
Yes,
so
yes.
I think this is something new. This is a new proposition because of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know how much work is being done. Not for the first ODI, but for the second and third ODI. What those surfaces, what the preparation methods are for those surfaces. But I would expect a good 50 over cricket pitch at Kensington. I know I don't think there'll be crowds, which is going to be unfortunate, because after winning the T20 series, that West Indies would have been open coming into Barbados. They will at least get at least 2,000 or 3,000 people at Kensington Oval, but that is not to be. And I hope that it can still have good surfaces so we can still see some exciting 50 over cricket. Because the T20 series is good.
Mm-hmm.
We would like to see even a better 50 over series between West Indies and Australia.
Let's quickly go now out of the Caribbean and talk to Cameron Coffey, the former West Indies fast bowler. I think he did you play against Cameron Coffey, Philo?
From under 19 right to we also went to Sri Lanka.
Yes, of course, of course.
There was a guy called Russell Atapatu,
yes.
And a guy called Russell Arnold who actually won the How Do You Play Coffee? You've got to leave the ball alone. You leave the ball alone, you still edge it. Hello, Phil Wallace. My good friend,
well,
how are you? To hear you, my friend.
You must be very happy.
Likewise,
you must be very happy about the West Indies performance, Cameron.
Hey, good night, Andrew. And you know, it's really nice to be at your show once again. Absolutely, yes. I'm very much excited. You know, with the West Indies performance up to date, going 3-0 up. I mean, that's awesome.
Yes, indeed. What do you think is responsible for the success?
Well, I mean, when you look at the Australia team, one of the things that is responsible for the success is that West Indies they're playing as a unit. Secondly, I don't think that Australia has scored enough runs to actually challenge the West Indies team, which is a very, very strong team at the moment. I also think that our bowling is really up to a good standard with Vincent Chen, Obi McCoy, and Dwayne Bravo with that sort of variety, and it's really good to see, and I just hope that we continue in that way.
Dr. Ford.
Hi, Cameron.
How would you really put in perspective the good performance against Australia now with some of the Australians missing, and knowing that Australia is ranked ahead of South Africa in T20 cricket, is it that our guys are warming up to the task, or just weaker?
Well, I believe that with the way that we are playing, I think we are playing as a unit. Yeah, and the unity within the team, and I believe that the team, you know, is really hungry for success. And I believe, you know, that's one of the main reasons, you know, why we are doing well. And also, I mean, the team is very, very experienced, the West Indies team, because most of our players have been plying the trade, you know, around various leagues throughout the world. So I think with that experience, I think that's what breeds the success.
We did very well chasing in the third match. In the first two matches, we put up scores which are kind of par for the conditions so far in the home series. But do you think that maybe we have to work harder at setting up bigger scores in order to ensure that we do well going forward towards the Cricket World Cup?
Absolutely. I mean,
okay, we can call them.
Posting a big score will always be you know, an advantage. And with the kind of firepower that we have, you know, whenever we get a chance to bat, we definitely will have to look at putting up, you know, over 180 runs. And I think with the sort of bowling that we have, I think we can easily defend 180 runs or more.
Who has impressed you the most? Who are some of the most impressive players you've seen thus far in the matches that you've watched?
Well, so far I must say that the young fast bowler from St. Vincent, Obin McCoy, mm-hmm. with the sort of variety, you know, that he brings to the team. Also in the last game, Hetmeyer from Guyana. You know, I think those two players really, really stand out for me.
Right. Just before you come back in, Doc, we're going to make this a St. Vincent affair, because we've just been able to find the Prime Minister, the five-star general. I like to call him that, the five-star general. And I should say to you, Prime Minister, that Cameron Coffey, I don't know if he's from South Rivers, but he's on the line as well. And what a combination, Coffey and Gonzales.
The nice PM, Prime Minister. How are you doing?
How are you doing, brethren? We are very privileged to be talking to Andrew the Great.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
So how are things with you, Cameron?
I didn't hear that, Prime Minister.
He's asking how things with you.
My brother.
Everything is fine. Everything is fine.
All right.
Everything is going
all right.
Mm-hmm.
Give the family my regards, please.
I sure will.
Right. Prime Minister, what a performance by the West Indies.
Yes, they have been performing creditably. This particular Australian side is, we must admit, not a particularly strong side.
Mm-hmm.
They have some good players, but they haven't really clicked. And there are many, many important players, top-notch players, about half a dozen or so, or certainly four of them. We're not on the side. So mm-hmm. while I'm very happy with the performance, I am not in any way at all over the moon. I want to be more measured in my assessment.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, as it is often said, that one swallow does not a summer make.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we can do much better with our batting. the bowling has served us well during the season, pretty well, clearly well, against the South Africa. And the South African batting lineup is not a very strong batting lineup. But good, you know, fairly good. But we didn't plan our games very well against South Africa. We ought not to have lost that series in the T20. And we certainly have been doing well against Australia, particularly the bowling again. I'm still a little concerned about the batting in the middle overs.
Mm-hmm, that's true.
You know, and we have to be able. We have not all of our batsmen are able to play top quality spin bowling and fairly good medium fast bowling. I mean, against Sri Lanka, they had one good fast medium bowler, and he gave us some problems. And the other end was fairly weak. Now, if you notice that Josh Hazlewood has been giving us some little challenges,
mm-hmm.
except, of course, in this last game when Gail took him apart in one over.
Yes, 19 in the over.
19 in the over.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Gail on his day can take apart any bowling.
Right.
Even when he's not at his very best. I'm talking generally speaking. I think most persons will concede that while he still deserves to be on the side, he's clearly not a Gale of 10 years ago. The side, and it's important, I guess, where he's batting at number 3 or thereabouts to see if he can help to hold things together. I would also want to await from stronger batting side,
right,
to see how our two spinners are doing, Young Walsh, and of course, our Jamaican brother, who
Stephen
is
Allen.
A good all-rounder.
Stephen Allen. Allen.
Yes,
Allen.
Allen.
Mm-hmm.
Allen.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a good utility player all around. And he could blossom into a very good T20 player.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd like to see how we fare against better batting side. And I'm still concerned about the brittleness of the batting. Mm-hmm. Actually, the game which I of this in these three games against Australia.
Mm-hmm.
The game that I thought that we played the best cricket was the second game.
The second game.
When mm-hmm. Bravo, from the batting standpoint,
yes,
when
he was promoted.
When Bravo was promoted and he was taking the singles and getting Hetmyer to play, not to go into his shell, but to score runs enough to beat off the score. And I believe that was a lesson as to how we should probably deal with it in the middle overs.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that we have enough talent on the side,
mm-hmm.
to make a very good showing in the World Cup,
mm-hmm.
in the UAE. Come October, but we would have to be clear as to how we are batting, and don't take too many chances and strategize it better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But on the bowling side, I think that Bravo is still very good, very able bowler,
mm-hmm.
in this type of competition. Macaulay has come along quite well and is improving.
Mm-hmm.
Fidel Edwards is is pretty good. He just has to focus. He's an experienced man. And I think that Jason Holder will have a permanent place on the T20 side. I believe. I think so.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's
yes.
both for his bowling and his batting and of course his fielding.
Mm-hmm.
He's too good an all rounder for us not to keep on our side. I don't know why he hasn't played thus far in the Australian.
Well, he's been rested, Prime Minister. He's supposed to play in the ODIs upcoming. The first one starts.
He's going to play in the ODIs.
Yes.
Okay, fine.
And that was stated by Cricket West Indies.
Oh, I didn't see that. I missed that.
Mm.
But I'm glad you... Well, I'm always there to be educated by Mason the Great, you know.
Yeah, yes, indeed.
But you know, I'm always measured about these things because I remember when, before the Sri Lankan series,
mm-hmm.
people were talking about it's a sure thing, and Sri Lanka gave us some troubling moments. And then, of course, when South Africa came, they said South Africa is starting as the underdogs. And I said, no, hold on. Let's not get carried away.
No.
So I don't want to start to blow the trumpet just yet.
No.
I think we have seen better performances against the Australian, and the fielding is pretty good. I am not so sure that our wicketkeeper is the best we can play. I know that Simmons also keeps. I mean, maybe this
yeah,
is maybe,
Poran is
maybe,
keeping. Mm-hmm.
More, maybe Poran is the better of the two keepers, but
mm-hmm.
he needs to be a little sharper behind the
screen. Yes, he has to be sharp. Yes.
He's a very talented player,
mm-hmm.
batsman,
mm-hmm.
and one of our better batsmen. And I have high hopes for him for the World Cup. But I think
mm-hmm.
his keeping has been below par.
Below par.
He's missed a couple of stumpings. Let me put it this way: his keeping has been uneven. He's pulled off one or two good stumpings last night.
Yes.
There was an appalling error.
Oh, yes.
In one case, the guy could almost run out the guy.
Yes. Twice. He can run about twice.
Yeah. And his glove work is not of the best.
No.
Clearly, he's not. Wicketkeeping is not his number 140. And we do that given the nature of T20 cricket. But if you're playing a spin bowler, you're going to need somebody, and we will play up a spin ball, I think. At least in some of the games, you need somebody to be able to do the stumping.
Yes, indeed.
I'm looking at the possible weak links.
Right.
And his general glove work needs to improve. He has to spend a little bit more time on it.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, he's a splendid cricketer.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And he has good leadership skills. I've been watching him.
Yes.
He has, in fact, Poran, in my view, is one of the players who can play all three formats.
Yes, that's true. That's very true.
You know, as a batsman.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with Hetmeyer. Can
yes.
play all three formats.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Jason Holder, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I believe McCoy would be also good with the one day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was
yeah, I agree. No, I agree with you, Prime Minister. I think he's come on very well, very clever
yes.
bowler. And we haven't even seen his late order batting because I've seen it here in Barbados. He can certainly give the ball a clout. What part of St. Vincent is he from, Prime Minister?
He's from the Western. He's from the Western community of Bukkabend.
Oh, Bukkabend. Okay, I see.
I know his family. In fact, I spoke to McCoy in one of the games between in the morning before one of the games.
Wonderful.
And I was watching his two slow balls.
Yes.
And the one which comes out the back of his hand.
Yes.
Is particularly deceptive, and he bowls them with the same action, same arm action. And he told me he was practicing that ball, to bowl that ball since he was 15 years old.
Mm.
And he laughed and said that he will, when he started it, his friends used to laugh at him because sometimes he would drop it by his big toe and other times he would bowl it over the wicketkeeper head. And I believe that Bravo has helped him, eh?
Yes. So Bravo's a tremendous influence in the team. Prime Minister, just hold your thought there because we're going to go to Australia. There's a gentleman called Jeff Lemon. What a name to have. He joined us. Stay with us, Prime Minister, because we want to find out why Australia are doing so poorly. Jeff, how are you?
Hello, Andrew. If you expect me to have all the answers as to why they're going so poorly, then I don't know that I'll be able to provide them.
Well, Prime Minister of St. Vincent, the Honourable Dr. Ralph Gonzalez, is with us. We also have my co-host, Dr. Andrew Ford, and Philo Wallace, the former West Indies Hartington Open and batsman, as part of the panel. So can you tell the Mason and Guest family, and I want you to speak directly to the Prime Minister now, why is Australia playing so poorly? He's listening, he's making notes.
Well, it's been a good few days for hard-hitting West Indies batsmen, I'll tell you that. It's interesting that there's been so much focus locally here on Australia's batting, that the batting has been a problem, basically all down to that collapse in the first match. But the bowling hasn't been too crash hot in the second, third matches either. They got sent around the park for 196 in the second match, and they've allowed Chris Gayle to get back into form and become a threat in the third game. So it hasn't exactly been a triumph on either front. The fielding's been pretty poor as well. There have been catches go down.
Yes, yes. Quite Australian-like, though.
Two of the matches.
Yeah, yeah. We don't expect the Australians. Yeah. They're normally better than that in the field.
I think the easy and obvious answer is that these guys haven't played in a while. And
okay. Some of them look a bit fat, too, to me. Put on some extra Australian weight. I think they're eating all the rotis there the cook up and what have you in the Caribbean in St. Lucia. And when they pass through St. Vincent, I'm sure we're going to get some breadfruit.
Well, as I know from visiting your part of the world, Andrew, the food is plentiful and very appealing. So it would be difficult to say no. But perhaps it's a function of this strange kind of year that Australia's had where Australia, more than any other team, has basically withdrawn from playing international cricket.
Yeah,
they've cancelled
true.
So many tours. They've officially postponed so many tours rather than cancelling. We don't have anybody coming to Australia to tour because it's too difficult, because they have to do long quarantines and all of the biosecurity arrangements.
Mm-hmm.
And so where other teams have gone to great effort to play to get series on, and West Indies is an obvious example, going to the UK at the height of the pandemic last year, and other teams have been putting in every effort they can to play. The Australian board has been pretty happy to pull out of everything except for series against England and India. So as long as we play the series against the other two big cricket economies, then everybody else can wait. That seems to be the Australian attitude. So I do wonder whether that has come back to bite them in terms of having a fairly unprepared group of players.
So what are they saying back in Australia, though? I mean, what has the reaction been like to this poor performance?
It's been quite strong. Perhaps surprisingly strong, because generally if we were on a test tour of West Indies, then most of the games would be on very much in the middle of the night. But these T20 matches are on at 9 o'clock in the morning,
right?
The perfect time for everybody who's supposed to be at work to be watching the cricket instead. So everybody has been watching these games. There has been a lot of attention paid. This is the only overseas tour that Australia is making this year to play a bilateral series. So we're still not 100% about whether the Bangladesh tour that's supposed to happen after this will go ahead. And aside from that, the only trip they'll make will be the T20 World Cup, presumably in October. So there has been a lot of attention on this, especially the limp way that Australia collapsed in the first game when they easily had that match in hand. And look, it's easy to say that a few of the top players are out, but every player in this squad is a player who has been championed, who has had a huge amount of support from people who wanted to see them in the team. People wanted to see, you know, Josh Phillippe has done remarkable things in domestic T20 cricket. These inexperienced sort of players have been, people have been waiting to see them play for Australia. So it's not like these are second-rung players. There are some outstanding players in that squad. They're just not putting the performance together.
Yeah, Philo.
Jeff Philo Wallace here. Do you think, Jeff, that there's a bit of complacency in this Australian side? Because I know it's a good side, minus the top players. It's still a very good side. Do you think there's a bit of complacency here in this Australian side, seeing that West Indies were beaten badly against South Africa, and they said, look, we believe we can steamroll them? Because they've been in St. Lucia now for quite a long time, and they said that they like the facilities and stuff like that. So why these bad performances? Do you think it's complacency?
I don't think it's complacency in terms of the makeup of the squad, because basically it was a decision made by the individual players who didn't come, rather than one made by the selectors or the board. The decision by Cricket Australia was to not too strenuously to players not wanting to travel, because things have been so difficult, and especially because those players who were in the IPL, it took them a month, just over a month, to get home, because they had to go and wait in the Maldives for a couple of weeks for the Australian borders to open, and then they had to do another 2 weeks in quarantine once they got back into Australia. And so for them to turn around 10 days later and leave home again and fly off overseas again and have to do more quarantines was going to be too hard, basically. So, but that was up to the players who decided that they didn't want to face that. But in terms of coming into this series, there probably is a bit of complacency that that they don't necessarily regard West Indies as the most organized and powerful opponent. You know, and there have been times when that isn't the case. But in T20 cricket, I think Australia does particularly respect West Indies in that format more than any other, because that is the most dangerous format, given the sort of power that West Indies can bring. And I think we're seeing the range in the bowling as well. We haven't been thinking about West Indies T20 side as a great bowling unit in the last few years, but they're showing the variety and the intelligence that they have in their T20 bowling.
Let's go back to Prime Minister Gonzales. You heard what Jeff Lemon had to say? Any reaction?
Yes, I heard what Jeff has been saying.
Any reaction to anything he said?
I think he's made a lot of sense about the preparation, and it looks as though some of them quite in good nick. I mean, Finch, for instance, at the top of the order is a very good player. And he has not been in good touch. Though, of course, easily he could find his touch in the middle of this slump and explode in the next game, and we can see something very different. I think the bowling has been pretty okay. The truth is this: it's always difficult against very hard hitting batsmen like those whom we have to have a fifth bowler. Because the guys, one of the things in T20, as you know, they go and they select a bowler, and they will say, well, okay, this one I'm not going to take any chances. He's going to go for four and over. But this other guy who's a fifth bowler, we're going to make sure that he gets 10 and over from us, or 12 and over, and beat the daylights out of him. So I think that has been a weakness in the bowling. But you have Stark is a very good bowler, and so is Josh Hazlewood. Both of them, Stark in the last game bowled extremely well, and
He has good skills and he has young times to play an Indian bowler. He's quite fast. He gets up. He gets up to some top 140s. So I think you have a problem with a fifth bowler.
Right.
And maybe a fourth and a fifth, but you've got three and probably four pretty.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Prime Minister, we want to thank you very much for coming through and talking to us. It's just about a couple of minutes left on the show. I know you're a busy man. But just before you go, how have you been handling the ash? I mean, there's also local cricket on Radio NBC. We made sure at Vibes Radio that we ensure that all of your wonderful people there hear the cricketers on your local station. Thanks to Colvin Harry and the wonderful team there. How are things going? I mean, you had a rough time in the last couple of months in relation to the ash, Prime Minister. Oh, the Prime Minister? Oh, the Prime Minister's out. Okay. All right. Well, let's know what happened there. All right. Philo, in terms of the last couple of minutes, I think we got Conde Riley on the line as well. Hello, Conde. How are you?
Good evening.
Good evening to you. All right. No, talk to us, Conde. You got some big matches coming up on next week. Can you tell us the protocols?
Well, unfortunately, I couldn't attend the meeting today. I spoke to my CEO, Dr. Toppin, and he had met with the COVID-19 unit. It doesn't look as though we'll be having anybody in the stadium, in Clinton Oval, sorry. But the cricket will be played. Hello?
Yes, cricket will be played. And in terms, and no spectators, we can confirm that. Huh? No spectators, right?
That is what I'm told.
This is what you're told. So when would you know? So, okay, all right. But do you have to be vaccinated in order to go into the ground, or you can go with a PCR test?
I think as I said, I didn't go to the meeting because of my sister's passing and so on. And
right.
Mm-hmm. I got the information from my CEO.
Right.
Right. So they would have met with the COVID unit, government, security people, and so on.
Mm, I see.
I think the decision is that there will be no spectators in the stands.
Mm-hmm.
just staff. And the protocols, if you're not fully vaccinated, you have to do the tests and so on.
All right.
Hello?
Yes, Conde. All right. And quickly before you go, this is going to be a serious blow in terms of local cricket. You were supposed to start on August the 7th.
Yeah, but that's still a few weeks away.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see what the domestic situation would be.
Mm-hmm.
But I was speaking specifically about the Australia and Pakistan visit, three ODIs and two T20s against Pakistan.
Mm-hmm. And despite all the challenges, Conde, your board is ready. Any effects from ELSA? Was Kensington affected in any way?
Yeah, but not major damage. A few sheets and so on from the roof, from the media center.
Okay.
The cleaners, but Comey is working on that.
Mm. So the damage didn't go into thousands.
I'm not sure what it would cost, but I know we had a discussion with the Comey chairman, and he's working on the roof.
Right.
Sheets that blew off, and the 3Ws. The work is being done at the Greenwich and Hands, as well as the media center and the Suicide Queen.
Today,
a lot of cleaning went on in terms of the heat from the ash and so on. That's been ongoing for a while.
Is Kensington well maintained, Conde, in your view?
Yeah, in large measure. Yeah, but we know we had the volcanic ash.
Mm-hmm.
We had ELSA.
Mm-hmm.
So work is being done, and I will be ready to host Australia and Pakistan.
Mm-hmm. All right, Conde. I want to thank you very much indeed for coming through and talking to us. We're just at the end of the program, but we want to thank you, Conde Riley, and enjoy the rest of your evening. All right, well, we're going to spend the final minutes with the Prime Minister, the Honourable Dr. Ralph Gonzales. We've got Jeff Lemon as well. We've got Dr. Andrew Ford and, of course, Philo Wallace. Doctor, any questions for the Prime Minister or Jeff Lemon? Doc?
Oh, well, I do have a question for Jeff. Jeff, how do you comment on how Zampa and Dart have gone? I think those two have been my biggest concern watching the three matches thus far.
Mm.
Hello, Doctor. And, yep, nice to be hanging out with you and the PM. It's a very esteemed panel this evening. Yeah, Mitchell Stark's been interesting, hasn't he? Hasn't been at his absolute full pace over the first couple of games and got smashed around. I think his two most expensive T20 innings where he's bowled the full four overs. And then in game three, he started to get it right. But part of that was down to the battle with Chris Gayle. So I found that particularly interesting. I think that in the 2019 World Cup match between West Indies and Australia, Chris Gayle looked all at sea against Mitchell Stark, who was bowling as fast as he ever has. And Gayle didn't seem like he could even pick up the ball properly. And so he was very cautious against Stark in that third T20. He was happy to block out overs from Mitchell Stark and then look to score elsewhere, which he was able to do very quickly. So that helped Stark return really good figures, 1-17 off his four overs. But that was partly purely because Gayle was not willing to attack Mitchell Stark, whereas other players might have done. So but I think for Stark, it's so often about rhythm for him. He's a rhythm player, and often the more he plays, the better. It's been this interesting sort of these decisions he's made where he hasn't played IPL for a number of years because he's viewed it as a way to help extend his career for Australia. But in other ways, you think that maybe players who, particularly bowlers in T20, need to be bowling often. They need to be playing a lot of matches in order to have that rhythm to know exactly what they want to be doing every delivery and to be able to achieve it. Playing less has worked against him in this way, but I think it just takes a bit of time for him. And Zampa's been a bit patchy. He's been a bit patchy all over the place. In the field, he's had quite a few mistakes, has had a couple of chances with the bat as well and hasn't looked confident doing that either. So I'm not too sure about Zampa at the moment. At his best, he's a wonderful T20 bowler because he bowls a very defensive length and he's hard to get away. But when Gayle is in a mood and decides to send you over the fence whenever he wants, then it's pretty hard to have a comeback to that, as many bowlers have found.
Wade's been around for so long, but Terry was good in the 50-over World Cup, even though this is a different format. It's interesting to see he's only had one game and hasn't played a big part on the tour thus far.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. So domestically, Terry has spent a lot of time opening the batting for the Adelaide Strikers, and that tends to be a problem for quite a few national T20 teams, that the best players bat at the top of the order in their domestic teams, in their franchise teams. And so once all of those players are picked in a national squad, they don't necessarily have specialised roles. They don't have players who've been playing really well at number five, say, to bat at number five. They have a whole stack of openers who then have to be put into all of the other positions. Wade has been a very frustrating player because he's looked the best of everybody at the top of the order. He's been striking it so cleanly, but he tends to make a brilliant fast 30 or so and then get out most of the time that he plays for Australia. So I think with Wade, maybe it's a matter of keeping the faith for a little bit longer that he will start to turn those in. Timing at the best of anybody in the side, and yet he's still one of the first wickets to fall. Carey's a different sort of player. He's less power. He's less all-out aggression, but he's more about cleverness and working the field. And particularly, you saw the way that he got off the mark with a reverse sweep for four. He plays that shot routinely and really well against spin all around the world. He's more of a problem solver if you have a situation that needs solving.
Mm. Well, just before we go, let's finish with the Prime Minister. Prime Minister, well, we've done well against the Australians, but
Your key word here is caution.
Yes. I just want to make one point, Andrew, because I know you're coming to an end.
Right.
I think the most important thing for the West Indies team between now and October, the players have to get into their head that they're playing for the West Indies and they're not playing for clubs in the IPL.
Right.
And therefore, the requisites of playing for the West Indies are very different. This is something which is larger than playing for, you know, RBC in Australia or, I mean, in India or any of the teams that you play there, you know, playing for the West Indies. And that has to get into their heads because sometimes I form the impression that they haven't quite gotten into their heads. They have so accustomed playing the professional cricket, IPL, Big Bash, et cetera, that they don't get it. It's not a noise in their blood and it's not an echo in their bones. Mm-hmm. And you have to have that. And that's where Darren Sammy was very good.
Yes.
That's the point I'd like to make.
Right.
In a final sense on this.
Right. Well, just before you go, we still got another minute or two left. Prime Minister, how are things going with you? And you know, we here at Mason and Guests, as I said, NBC Radio is certainly carrying the cricket. We've had Dr. Shallow on the show. How are things going with you now? We know you've had some serious challenges in relation to the Ash Fall.
Yes, we're holding it together. As you know, I'm not a man of lamentations, neither are the people of St. Vincent and the Grenadines. We're very resilient and... circumstances are very challenging, but I don't define it as a crisis. A crisis is a condition in which the principals are innocent of the extent of the condition and have no credible set of ideas as to the way forward. Well, we know what is the extent of the condition, and we have credible ideas as to how we move forward. It's a question of us doing this thing together in social solidarity, national solidarity. Of course, that's always difficult in small islands with competitive politics, sharply competitive politics. But we're holding it together and we're moving forward. So I'm quite optimistic about we recovering stronger.
And final words. What do you have to say to the West Indies team? They lost against South Africa. Good victory against the Australians. They're what? Two T20s left in St. Lucia, then they travel to Barbados for three ODIs, and then, of course, we're going to have the Pakistanis come in for two test matches and a couple of ODIs. What do you have to say to the West Indies as they prepare for the World Cup?
They have the talent to win the World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
They have to think of themselves as a West Indian team and just be focused and disciplined in their work.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Well, Prime Minister...
A mine is you.
Prime Minister, we want to thank you very much indeed. Always good to hear from you, the five-star general. Dr. Ford said he's coming to St. Vincent to meet you in South Rivers.
Ah, I will welcome him as a conquering hero.
I like that. Prime Minister, always a pleasure to talk to you.
All the best.
Enjoy the rest of your evening, sir.
Thank you very much. All
right.
The best to you.
Well, Jeff, you were in the company of a Prime Minister. Have you ever met the Prime Minister of Australia, Jeff?
I have met a couple of former prime ministers of Australia, but not the current one. But I won't be going out of my way to do that.
Is he doing well, the current prime minister? Is he doing okay?
I think that's a very debatable contention.
Right.
How well he's doing.
Well, okay. Well, Jeff, we want to thank you for coming through. It's a pity that you're not in Barbados, because if you were in Barbados, we'd have been taking you to that famous chicken place that they always used to take you there and have lots of good old Bajan chicken. You remember those days, don't you, Jeff?
I have very good memories of that.
All right.
Lovely to be with you.
Okay. Thanks very much indeed, Jeff Lemon, of course, the noted Australian commentator. Thanks to Dr. Ford. Philo Wallace has long gone to bed. We heard from Richard Prof Edwards. Very good to hear from Cameron Coffey. Always a good combination when the Vincentians get together. He was with his prime minister. And, of course, we heard from Conde Riley. Ambassador Courtney Andrew Walsh was with us And of course, we also heard from Wayne Lewis, the secretary of WEPA. What a combination on Mason and guests. I'm Andrew Mason. It's open for a bird.
You are listening to The Cricket Show. Join us each Saturday morning from 9 until 12 noon to hear the Saturday morning entertainment episode. And on Sundays, from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, to be a part of The Cricket Show. To join the show, call 1-515-605-9850.
Join us on Saturday morning, 9 o'clock. Tonight, welcome.